There are lots of difficulties with not having the internet, not least of which means I can't have my phone where it usually is, which means I have no idea how long I've been preaching. Always a bad thing. Always a good thing. So if you give me a second, I'm going to put a stopwatch on my screen so I have some idea. Well, no, I'm not. Apparently it needs an update. Well, too bad. I'll do the best I can to not be too long, unlike last week, which was a little bit longer than some. But there you go. So, how many commandments are there really? Well, first of all, let's talk about what is a commandment. You will run across people who will tell you that a commandment is listed to the 10. Kind of hard to make them into 10, but there's 10 in Exodus and again in Deuteronomy, and that's it. 10 commandments, that's all there is to it. They unfortunately miss the New Testament, which is a problem. But if you convince them to go look at the New Testament, they might tell you there's as many as 12. There are some people who will tell you on the basis of the count of the Old Testament in Leviticus and such, there's 612, which is true, enormous, and daunting, to say the very least. There are others who will say, and they mean this quite sincerely, that whenever God says anything in the Bible, do this is a commandment to everybody for all time. I'm not sure how they get there, but they do. And it's a way to think of commandments. And I have no idea how many of those there are because we read a whole bunch of them in Exodus. The Passover, we're told to do this and this and this. And there are at least some people who will suggest that we are under the same obligation to obey those as the more formal, more likely to be thought of as commandments. Well, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about it for a couple of reasons, not least of which is that commandments, the Ten Commandments, the understanding of this sort of the Decalogue, the 10 words, is a big thing in some circles. They want it in lots of different places. They want it to be seen in public places or not seen in public places. And people have strong feelings about commandments. And that makes sense to me. I do too, because I, as a proud possessor of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, have a thing they call oppositional defiance complex, because we all do, which means when you tell us to do something that we were just about to do, we don't want to do it anymore. And when we're children, we won't. When we grow up, we mostly do it anyway, but we often resent you, which is not your fault, just so you know. So commandments, we don't like being told what to do usually. And yet, as people of faith, people who have moved into a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we realize there's a larger call upon us. And we're not unique that way. Pretty much everybody does. Civic engagement, loyalty to their family, to their sports team, to their work team. Most people have this sense that there's larger things that can impinge upon us that we are required to then act like. Commandments just put it in a way, usually, that's nice and clear. And when we think of the Ten Commandments, we tend to think of the ones that are pretty easy to keep. Do not murder, do not kill, depending on which translation you use. That's pretty straightforward. Do not lie. A little bit trickier because sometimes we just don't know when we tell a lie by mistake. So we tell ourselves that maybe this one was a mistake. Somebody once said with considerable wisdom that the human being is not a rational animal, but a rationalizing animal. And I sometimes think that's a little more true than I might like. But this whole question of so how many commandments are there really? Well, and that's a good question. It's a technical question. It's a question that has been debated for millennia. The Midrash is full of what is a testimony or what is a commandment and what isn't, and what do we have to do and what do we not do? And so people have been talking about this for a long time. So I'm unlikely to solve it today. But I have some thoughts in that direction, and they actually came out of the Romans passage with a certain amount of looking back to Passover and with some thoughts coming out of Matthew 18, often considered the blueprint for church discipline, which it is not. Is the blueprint for life in community that says human beings matter And you should talk to human beings when they do things that affect you, good, bad, or indifferent. And you should try and bring them back into community. That's what it's about. It's not anything more than that. And then we have Paul, who talks about a bunch of these things, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, and all that. But then he says the most important thing, whatever other commandments there may be, in this translation, are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. I've been talking a lot about this lately because it's been close to my heart, or it's been noticeable to me in ways that it hasn't been perhaps in earlier times. And I think part of it comes from people who suggest that that isn't really the point of Jesus. The point of Jesus is that we demonstrate that we are here and other people are somewhere else, probably lower. And that frustrates me because I don't think it's true. And one of the reasons why I don't think it's true is because Jesus also said, when asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is equal to it, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then he goes on to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan to make sure that everybody knows you don't get to pick your neighbors. Your neighbors are the people who are around you. So does that mean there's really only two commandments? Well, maybe. Maybe there's only one. Maybe the commandment that matters is the commandment to love. And you can either put a full stop there or perhaps an ellipsis after that. We are commanded to love. Love God, love our neighbor. That pretty much covers everything. But what about, there's also creation, which God made and said it was good, worthwhile. All of these things, there are things we can fill in there, but once we, exactly the word, we love what God has told us, we love the community, which is slightly different than loving our neighbor, but it all comes back to love. And on the way here, Clayton and I were talking about this and talked about the sermon title, and I said, if I'm not careful, it'll become the bad kind of preachy. And he said, oh, yeah, well, why don't you tell people about a couple of nights ago? Oh, yeah, I kind of forgot about that. 2 nights ago, this person came. We were all weren't ready for bed. We were about to be ready for bed. You know that everything's done for the day. Maybe you're watching television, maybe you're having a snack, whatever. The doorbell rings, front door. We have a the world's most feeble solar-powered light out front. So, it's not like our house is, it's, we have Christmas, we have like colored lights in a lilac bush. But on the whole, it's not a house that just is, brightly lit and says, hey, come on over. What it does have is a flag. At the moment, it has a trans flag. It's had the rainbow advance flag. It's had other flags of that nature. But there's something else going on about our house because this happens to us and has happened to us every place we have ever lived, Natalie and I, with or without flags. Doorbell rang. Person came and said, can I have some water? I've been bear maced. I said, of course you can have some water. So we ended up shuttling water to him because I didn't want him pouring water on his face inside, but I wanted him pouring water on his face. So he stood in our front deck and poured water on his face, and we got him some dish soap. Clay, while we're doing this, looks up, what do you do when you've been maced? Cold water. Well, warm water at first, if it, and then cold water to help with the pain, and something like dish soap. The guy asked for milk. We're lactose intolerant. We don't have milk. And as it turns out, milk is a bad idea. It can lead to infections. So he and his friend were there for, I don't know, 20 minutes or so. He said, maybe you could drive us somewhere. And I said, it's late. And at this point, you're covered with water. I'll be happy to call you a cab. So I call him a cab, shuttle the water back and forth, talking to him. Cab comes, away he goes. I hope he's well. I suggested that he maybe get the cab to drop him off at the hospital, but it was up to him. Maybe this happened to a friend of his. Maybe he knows what to do when he's got his own home around him. So nonetheless, we did this. Costs us virtually nothing. Why? Why did we do it? Why did we even open the door? The last time I opened the door late at night was two people who were there because a lot near us has been zoned for medium density housing, and they want to make sure those kind of people don't move into our neighborhood. Just thought, you're very lucky I answered the door, and had they did not, because you would have got an earful, you wouldn't enjoy nonetheless. So, it's not always good news when people ring the door late at night. But why? Because that's what I do. And that's what you do. And that's what we do. We answer calls, and sometimes they are for things we can provide that no one else can, whether it's something as simple as that. Over the years, it has been giving people rides, it's been paying for cab companies. I don't know how many coats we've given away over the years. It's just, and we don't have a big sign that says, "Hey, suckers here," which is what some people say we are, or "Come here and graciousness will be extended towards you." Apparently, we don't need to have that. The Holy Spirit has put it there. The house next to us has similar kinds of lights. It's actually better lit. House on the other side, on the corner, likewise, at least as well lit. Further down, the house beside the house next to us looks derelict. It is not. It's in the middle of a significant renovation. The house before that has a hedge, maybe where the. There is no reason to pick our house from among those three that are virtually identical from the street, and yet they do. Why? Because, as far as I'm concerned, there is only one command, and that's to love. And then it branches out from there. And it branches out in lots of different directions. And a couple of nights ago, it branched out to Christian, that was his name, and his friend Cash, who was not helpful, but wasn't particularly helpful in a crisis. He was just there, sort of worrying about people I couldn't see. What about this female name and that female name? And I'm thinking, well, go talk to them if that's the point. You have a phone and do. Oh, never mind. Just stand there, keep Christian company, because he's in a lot of discomfort. Did I resent Christian? No, I didn't. I don't know why I would, except I can see myself at a different stage of life just being irritated that somebody rang my bell late at night, made the dog bark, made me jump, that kind of thing. But no, I wasn't irritated at him at all. I was really annoyed at whoever this maniac was who's spraying bear mace around. There's a lot of it in Regina. I don't know what it's like here. I hope it's not. I mean, I don't follow the news closely, but often you hear that just somebody decided to go and spray people in a shopping center or in the park or the skate park, which is where I'm assuming this happened. So I'm annoyed at that person. I don't know that they had a good or a bad reason. All I know is that somebody was in pain on my front step. And I like to think I was useful, and that Clayton, who helped shovel the water back and forth, Hadley, who kept the dog from coming around and protecting us from yet another murderer that we're too dense to see. We all got together in a very minor way to make somebody's life, I hope, a little bit better. And it seems strange. And I don't know what Christian would think about it, but yeah, I love Christian because he is. I don't love him more because he needed help. I helped him more because he needed help. But I helped him because, as a human being within whom the image of God resides, who has a relationship with God in some way, whether he knows it or not, and maybe he uses different language, maybe he's from a different denomination, a different, but very few people don't think there's something larger than themselves. And whether that's sufficient, I don't know. That's not my business. But a human being needed help. And I'm glad I gave it. It's convenient that it didn't cost me much, except the time I haven't been thanked that much in that short period of time for a long time, that I just thought, what a lovely thing that this young man, and that, because he looked like he was in extreme discomfort. And I've heard it's very, very painful. And in the midst of that, even as he's asking for more water, thank you so much for this. And I'm just thinking, you're welcome, but thank you. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to be reminded that I have been changed from the inside out. I am closer to what I was created to be now than I was 20 or 40 or 50 years ago. That I am more open-handed, that I am less grasping, that I am more interested in human beings simply because they are than I ever was before, when I was interested in human beings primarily as a theory. So I thank him for letting us help him. And I meant it. Because there really is only one connect. Branches out, it covers a lot of different things. Parts of it we can have conversation around what that means and how it looks. But it all comes back to this. It all comes back to love. And when I started looking at scripture through that lens, it changed everything for me. There's a cartoon that I think the naked pastor has done that is you two people talking. One of them is Jesus, by the way. Jesus says, you look at the scriptures to find who to love. And I look through love at the scriptures to see what I do. I begin with love because I understand that part. There's lots of parts of the Bible I don't really understand, and I think that's pretty normal. Some of it's pretty tough. There's some parts that are absolutely crystal clear. And one of them is love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And that command seems to cover the rest of them well enough that I think that is the only one we need. Amen.